recorded so you can put it to
Oh, shit. Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, I totally meant to do that, and I had, like,
no
a recorder
pressure.
On the...
Not thing. At all.
I'm glad you came to Vegas.
All right.
Apparently, Jay's recording me for David. Yeah, and probably for Daisha, because Daisha needs to hear this.
Yeah.
Because I love her. All right. So, yeah. I'll just ask that you guys be patient with me as I go through this and try to do it the best that I can. Also, afterwards, if any of you guys have any, feedback you can give me, that would be great. Like, come bless me with it, because that'll help me. And this was a really awesome experience. Like I said, I want to teach on patience. I titled my teaching, Our Patience, God's Timing, because that was something that I feel like he was speaking to my heart, and I felt like it was something that a lot of people could probably use. And yeah, I read through Job, because I was like, oh, everybody says Job is such a patient man. And then I was reading, and I mean, he endured patiently, and he didn't curse God, but I don't know if he was the kind of patience I was looking for. So it was a little discouraging at first, but I just prayed about it, and then sure enough, God worked something out. So should be a good one, hopefully. All right. I was gonna actually type all this out, but I didn't. So where I want to begin is talking about us as people, you know, of the flesh. We want things when we want them. We want them now. We want them in our time. We want them how we want them. And we don't want to wait for them. You know, we want happiness. We want love. We want our finances to be secured. We want a place to live. We want all these things. And we want and we want and we want. But sometimes God wants us to wait. And that's something that's been really hard for me to learn in my life, is that sometimes God just wants you to wait. And that's not a bad thing. So we're going to start in Galatians 5. So who would like to read Galatians 5:22? Go ahead, Andrew. Thank you.
Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Awesome. What version are you reading from?
I got the King James.
Okay, cool. So mine is ESV. So in mine, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and then you go on gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So being born of the Spirit, we were given the fruit of patience. That's what we were given, being born again and of the Spirit, because we're not of the flesh, we are of the Spirit. But in this world and being of the flesh, that is where it comes into play, that we want all these things when we want them, how we want them, and we don't want to wait for them. So we have it on the inside, but it needs to be worked outwards, okay? Everything we have in here, it's not really doing us any good if we're not working it outside of us, and we're not talking to God about it, and we're not using it in our daily lives and with others and trying to really ask and dig into it and what it means. So there's a few areas that I kind of want to touch on, and that's that we need to learn to be patient with ourselves and with our circumstances. We need to learn to be patient with others, and we need to learn to be patient with God and with his timing in our lives. So everybody go to Ephesians 4. And somebody read Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 for me.
I'll do it.
Oh.
You do it.
Okay, go ahead.
I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Okay. So we've been called to walk with patience. This wasn't like a thing that just popped up and like, oh, there's patience. No, like we've been called. This is a part of our calling, is to walk with patience. Okay? To walk with patience, with all humility and gentleness, and to bear with one another in love. Okay? So, why? Let's ask why. Go to Hebrews 6. And then Tiffany, since you were so eager to read, why don't you go ahead and read Hebrews 6, 11 and 12.
11 and 12. Okay. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
All right, so that's pretty cool. Through faith and through patience, we get to inherit promises. Okay, says it right there. Until the end. Not until you get what you want. Not until your housing situation works out. Not until you get the degree that you wanted. Not until you find love and happiness and everything else that you've ever wanted in this world. Until the end. Okay? With faith and patience, you inherit the promises. And I was looking at those two things going, well, those two things really go hand in hand together. Because I know there have been times where my faith has dwindled in my life and I didn't have much patience. And when my faith was strong, I had much more patience. So those two things really go hand in hand together. Go to Hebrews 10. And if somebody wants to read 35 and 36 in Hebrews 10.
Hebrews 10 what?
35, 36.
Okay, I'll read it. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that you may have. Hold on, let me start the sentence. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised.
Okay. So, you have the need of endurance. So, when you look up endurance in the dictionary, it says suffering patiently. That's what it says. Because there are things in our lives that we're going to have to suffer through, right? Our lives aren't going to be all daffodils and rainbows and happiness. That's not life. Everybody in this room should know that by now, okay? But we have to endure that. And God allows us to endure that through our faith, through our patience. And when you look at that, it says, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So though you have your faith, and though you have patience, you need to be doing the will of God while you're patiently waiting, and while you're being strong in your faith, so that you can receive what is promised to us. Go to 2 Peter 3. And we're going to be in 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So no matter how slow we might think God is sometimes in our lives, he is not slow. We are impatient. He is not slow. His timing is perfect in everything, but we don't like to wait. And we need to remember that that's of the flesh. It's not of the spirit. When you don't want to wait for something, that's not of the spirit, that's of the flesh. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Says it right there. He is patient towards us. That's awesome. And if he wasn't patient towards us, I don't think any of us would probably be here. Go to 2 Peter 1:4. Who wants to read that for me?
Okay.
Go ahead.
1:4?
Mm-hmm.
whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Okay. So he wants us to be partakers of the divine nature. It's written right there. That's what he wants us to be. Being able to escape corruption that is in the world, and where mind, it says, because of sinful desires, which are also of the flesh. Now, we know God doesn't test us, right? Who tests us?
The devil.
Mm-hmm. Our family.
Your family, but that's another part, is who can the devil work through? Anybody. Anybody in our lives. I've had it happen to me. I'm sure you guys have had it happen to you. The devil can work through anybody. So, God can't test us, but the devil can. And guess what? The devil's patient. You need to talk about somebody that's patient. The devil is patient. Bishop Dale C. Bronner said, "The devil's greatest virtue is patience, and the children of God's greatest vice is impatience." Go to 1 Peter 5:8. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." I don't know if any of you guys have ever researched how lions kill and the way that they stalk their prey. But they like to do it either late at night or early in the morning when no one's around, no one's watching, no one can see it. So who does that kind of sound like? Who likes to screw with us when nobody's paying attention? The devil. They like to use camouflage to their advantage to stalk their prey. And the more, when I read that, I was like, what is the devil's camouflage? This world. This is his camouflage. And he uses everything in it to screw with us when he gets the opportunity to do it. And lions don't prefer things that are strong. They prefer things that are weak. They prefer things that are tired. Devil's the same way. He wants you to be weak. He wants you to be tired. He wants you to be vulnerable. He wants to be able to get in there and get this stronghold on your mind and to really be able to take over your life and make you fall and fail. But look at James 4:7. Justin, will you read James 4:7 for me?
Sure.
Thank you.
Just gotta find it first. I got it. Okay. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you."
Awesome. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. It doesn't say he might flee. It doesn't say he'll sometimes flee. It doesn't say Monday through Wednesday he'll flee, but Thursday through Sunday, you're on your own. It's not what it says. It says he will flee from you, but you have to submit yourselves to God. And I know in my life, when I've gotten impatient, God's the last person I want to talk to. And when I do want to talk to him, I just want to get mad and be like, "Why the hell are you taking so long?" And that's not any way to be talking to God about, you know, his will for my life. Not my will for my life, his will for my life. Go to Matthew 4. Who wants to read Matthew 4, 1 through 11? Go ahead, Jess.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him.
Okay. So, I mean, Jesus could have easily, like, probably pushed the devil out the first sentence, like the first time the devil tried to screw with him. This is after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. After I don't eat for a few hours, I get hangry and my patience worse than, okay? Like, that happens. But Jesus right here gives us a perfect example of his faith with his patience. And he stood firm on the word of God and the devil flee. So when you go back to James 4:7, where it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee," Jesus already showed us that that's true. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. And Julie, read 12 through 13.
What is it again?
12 through 13, 1 Corinthians 10.
Right. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it."
All right. So we talk about those promises. Right there, God promised us something. He's faithful. We can rely on that. He won't let us be tempted beyond our ability, and with temptation, he will also provide us a way of escape and for us to be able to endure it. Do you know why that is? Because you know who's more patient than the devil? God. God's a hell of a lot more patient than the devil is.
The devil is really that patient. He wouldn't give up on us.
Well, and that's the thing. The devil will give up when you turn to God. Because he's already been defeated.
Amen.
Go to James 5. And somebody read verse 7 through 10 for me in James 5.
"Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Until when?
That's good.
Okay.
So, in verse 8, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord." So, we're showing patience every day by waiting for Christ's return, right? Because we're waiting for it. We're ready for it to happen, right? I can't be the only one that's kind of ready for it. You know, I'm ready. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, that would be awesome to be able to live and see that. And, yeah. So, we're supposed to show patience while waiting for Christ to return. Meanwhile, God is showing us patience when it comes to our growth to bear the good fruits that were talked about with Galatians 5:22, when it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." God is showing us patience because he knows we weren't born that way, you know, and to be able to grow it, there are certain things that we need to do in our lives, and we need him and his love and his patience for us to be able to do that. So go to John 15. And I'm going to be in John 15, 1 through 9. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Okay, so he wants us to bear that good fruit. And if we're not, he wants to take away the parts that aren't. But also it says, right there at the end, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you are lacking in patience, if you are lacking in love, if you are lacking in faithfulness, if you are lacking in any of those things, ask God, talk to God, and he will help you out. But don't expect that those things are just going to happen if you're not talking to God and going to God with it. Because where does it come from? It comes from him. It comes from the Spirit. Go to 2 Peter 3. And somebody read 2 Peter 3:15, but stop at salvation.
And count the patience of our Lord as salvation.
Thank you. Thank you, Jessica.
You're welcome.
So, count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Our salvation is what has rescued us from sin and death. And Jesus was patient. You know, he didn't really know what all was going to happen, but he knew his Father had a plan. And he saw that plan through. And then he endured the cross for us. I mean, talk about some damn patience. I couldn't do it. Could you do it? I couldn't do it. I really could. So, I want to go into a few different verses before I close. Go to Philippians 4. And somebody read Philippians 4, 11 through 13.
Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
So if you're struggling with patience for yourself and for your circumstances, I suggest this verse. Because for a long time, I had to learn with whatsoever state I was in to be content with it, even if it wasn't where I wanted to be. And understanding that God had a greater plan for my life, even though I didn't understand it at that moment. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so can you. Patience for others. Go to John 13. And in John 13, somebody read verse 34 for me.
I give you a new commandment. Sorry. That you should love one another just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another.
Okay. So even without going to 1 Corinthians 13:4, what does it say in the first verse on love?
Love is patient.
Love is patient. We're supposed to love one another the way that God loved us. Loves us. So love is patient. So God is love. God is patient. He is patient with us. We're supposed to love others. Love is patient. We need to be patient with others. We also need to be patient with ourselves. go to let's go to Psalm 27. And in Psalm 27, if somebody would like to read verse 14.
Wait on the Lord, give good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Okay. Wait on the Lord. I didn't look this up, but I'm pretty sure it's a lot how many times the Bible tells us to wait on the Lord. I know it's a lot, and I probably could have looked it up and done some studying into that, which probably would have taken a long time because I know it says it a lot in the Bible, to wait on the Lord. But to kind of go hand in hand with that, go to Deuteronomy 31. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." So if it's telling us to wait on the Lord, and it's also saying he will not leave you and he will not forsake you. I mean, if there's anybody that I want to wait on, it's somebody who's not going to leave me. Go to Jeremiah 1. And somebody read Jeremiah 1, verse 5.
This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far away from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. Oh, wait, sorry. Is that the wrong chapter?
1:5.
That's depressing.
Before I formed you, the womb I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.
Okay. So, I know when I was coming back to my faith, that was something huge for me because God knew me before anybody even knew that I was going to be a me. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, for somebody to know who you are before anybody else would even know that you were going to exist. It's pretty freaking awesome. Go to Jeremiah 29:11. Anna, you want to read Jeremiah 29:11 for me?
When I find it. Jeremiah what?
29:11.
For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope.
To give you a future and a hope. So do we ever really need to worry about our future? Not if we leave it in the hands of God. Go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they who wait for the Lord," there it is again, wait for the Lord, "but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's what we get if we wait for the Lord. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty damn cool to me. Just saying. Okay. And then, how about we go to Galatians 4? Galatians 4:4-5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. In the very beginning of that, it says, when the fullness of time had come. I'm pretty sure he knew when it was the perfect time to send his son. Clearly. So why is it so hard for us to trust God's timing? He had this perfect plan. His perfect plan is still in motion. And we don't know what's going to happen with it, but we do need to trust in it, and we need to be patient while we are trusting in it. So I want to end with Proverbs 3:5.
Three five.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And then 6 goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So it says trust in him with all of our hearts, not a piece of our hearts. And I know that's hard to do, because sometimes we put our hearts into other things and other people. And that takes away from what we're putting in God. And it says trust in God with all of our hearts, not some of our hearts, not 25%, not 50, not 7, all of our hearts. And not lean on our own understanding of things. So back last year when I didn't get the job that I wanted at the psych hospital, and I was super discouraged and I was super brought down and I was super kind of pissed off about it, like, why didn't I get that? That was really hard for me, and I was leaning on my own understanding of it. And now I'm working at a real hospital and a job that I love, and it's freaking awesome, and that's because God had a plan. But I was impatient, and I didn't understand that at the time, and waiting patiently and growing more in my faith with him and having more patience helped me to understand that good things really do come to those who wait. So we wait on the Lord. And we wait for his plan. And if for some reason you were ever having a problem waiting, go to Job 38. I'm going to close in Job 38, verse 4 through 6. Because if you guys are ever having a problem with patience and with waiting, I want you to imagine that God is literally speaking to you, and this is what he says. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Wasn't me. So that's all I got for you guys. I want to close in prayer. Dad, I just want to thank you so much for the patience that you show us every single day in our lives, even when we have no patience for you. And I ask that you would just help us to see your plan for our lives and for this corrupt world around us, and know that you have something great in store that is completely beyond our understanding and beyond any knowledge that we might acquire. And I just thank you for the patience you show us, the love that you give us every single day, and thank you for allowing us to be your children. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Proud of you.
Shut up.
Next week. Don't worry, Jim.